I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. Enough. That's what Greeks are saying at the ballot box to years of punishing austerity measures. Greek voters swept the left-wing anti-austerity Syriza party into power yesterday. At the head of that party is a young politician named Alexis Tsipras.
As one of my friends emailed me this morning, he said, "Today is going to be the best day of Alexis Tsipras' life. From here on out, it's downhill."
That's an economist at Harvard we'll hear from in a moment. Let's not start heading downhill quite yet, though. First, a reality check, because Alexis Tsipras ran on the promise of renegotiating Greece's bailout agreements, which total some $240 billion. As the new prime minister told cheering crowds in Athens, Greece is leaving behind catastrophic austerity, fear, and autocratic government. Sounds pretty good, but can it really happen? Here's The World's Clark Boyd.
They're taking away our dignity. I heard it time and time again when I was in Greece for the last general election a few years back. The anger and frustration wasn't just aimed at EU bureaucrats and German bankers. It was also aimed inward at what Greeks still see as a hopelessly corrupt and ineffective political system. Alexis Tsipras and his Syriza party promised to change it all, inside and out. And judging by the election results, Greeks bought it this time around. Tsipras thanked them for their vote of confidence and asked Greeks for space to create a new future with dignity.
"You defeated fear and you brought up smile to every Greek man and woman. And I invite you forward, let us proceed on this difficult and beautiful struggle. Let us raise the sun over Greece."
Sunny wouldn't be the way to describe Greece under the Eurozone's austerity measures. Unemployment skyrocketed. Small businesses failed. A third of all Greeks lost their state health insurance. Young people left in droves.
"Let's be frank here. In 2010, tragically, our state, Greece, became bankrupt."
That's economist Yanis Varoufakis speaking to the BBC today.
"And Europe, official Europe, in its infinite wisdom, decided to deal with this bankruptcy by unloading the largest loan in human history on the weakest of shoulders, those of the Greek taxpayer, on condition that the bankrupted nation is going to have to shrink its income by a quarter. I think it takes an 8 or 9 year old to understand that this cannot end well. What we've been having ever since is a kind of what I call fiscal waterboarding policies that have turned this nation into a debt colony."
Varoufakis, himself a Syriza supporter, looks set to become Greece's new finance minister in a coalition government. Syriza didn't win an outright majority. Instead, it's partnered with a right-wing anti-austerity party called Independent Greeks. Task number one for the Syriza-led government will be to renegotiate the bailout deals with the Eurozone, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Central Bank. Across Europe, there's been the typical, "we're ready to work with the new government of Greece" kinds of statements. But that will only go so far.
"We stick to our promises, but they need to stick to their promises as well."
Niels Annen is with Germany's Social Democrats, who are currently in a coalition with Chancellor Angela Merkel's party.
"Our message to Mr. Tsipras will be that we should cooperate with them. But this will not mean, and this is a little bit what he offered and promised his electorate, that will not mean that the difficult structural adjustments can be avoided. We need to do both.
Doing both will be easier said than done for Alexis Tsipras. He's promised to ease the country's debt burden, to put the country on a path toward economic growth, to stimulate the economy. But for that, he needs money. And Greece's credit rating isn't exactly stellar these days. In other words, it will be hard to get loans. Guntram Wolf heads the Bruegel think tank in Brussels. He says Alexis Tsipras should expect a difficult first month in office.
"He has promised really quite a lot, and at the moment, at least, I still fail to see how he can afford all of this domestically. So he's going to face, at some stage, reality, and that may be pretty tough for Greece."
But Yanis Varoufakis, the man who will likely be at the center of Greece's negotiations with its European counterparts, remains optimistic.
"We're not going to go to Brussels and to Frankfurt and to Berlin in a confrontational style. There is plenty of room for mutual gains and benefit, and we shall endeavor to find that room."
Greece and its Eurozone partners have about a month to figure out if the rules can be bent, and if so, how much. The country's latest bailout extension expires at the end of February. For The World, I'm Clark Boyd.
We just heard the previous austerity policies in Greece described as fiscal waterboarding. Some might simply call them fiscal responsibility. Richard Parker, what do you call them?
A fiscal challenge.
Okay. Richard Parker, an economist at Harvard. He was an advisor to a previous Greek government. If Tsipras is the antidote to the bailout regimes, then is his answer not paying back loans? I mean, ultimately, he's got to find some revenue somewhere, right?
Well, several things. You can restructure these loans in dozens of different ways, and the question of whether you absolutely write off the principal is an open one. He clearly is going to push in that direction and is going to want these government and semi-government agencies like the ECB and the IMF to absorb some of these losses. Now, in the context of Europe, it would be a wise thing to get past this Greek crisis rather than keep scratching at it and let it infect other European countries like Spain or Portugal or, worst of all, Italy. Greece is a small economy in Europe, about 2% of the European economy. And for all those reasons, finding a way to steadily cut down the amount of money the Greeks are going to have to pay back is a wise move.
Let's say Syriza is kind of angling for a forgiveness-type policy. If that does happen, what's to stop, you know, Spain and maybe Italy or Portugal if they get into deep trouble?
So that's the moral – yeah, sure. That's the moral hazard argument. You know, it's always trotted out. It was trotted out in 2008 here. And the fact of the matter is, once you've gone through sort of ventilating about moral hazard, you get back to the fundamental business of – getting these economies going again. You have to understand that the Greek debt of 2010 was primarily owned to privately owned banks across Europe. And the reason that the European governments were willing to lend to the Greeks was not to let that money go to Athens and then stimulate the Greek economy. It didn't. The money would be shipped to Athens, and metaphorically, within 24 hours, that money was being shipped back to German, French, Swiss, Italian, English banks who had previously bought Greek bonds. What was happening was the Europeans were recapitalizing their banks, but saying that what they were doing was rescuing Greece.
Let me ask you this. I mean, Syriza seemed to find success in the Greek elections by telling voters that no one's going to tell us what to do in Greece. But at the end of the day, won't Greece have to accept that they can't just go their own way?
Look, this is a Mediterranean culture in which bravura and braggadocio are historically large elements of the way that the culture is communicated. When I was advising Prime Minister Papandreou, we were carefully watching polls of Greek public opinion, and the number of Greeks who wanted to stay in the eurozone never fell below 75% of the population. And recent polls indicate that the same is true. So there's an anger about being pushed around, but there's no desire to leave the neighborhood, if you will.
Well, today, it's kind of funny. The markets seem to be taking the news in stride, the news from Greece about the elections. How come?
Well, that's a straightforward thing, which is if the money that Greece owes is owed to Deutsche Bank, a private bank, and it's a lot of money and Greece defaults on it, then the bank is potentially at risk of collapsing. But this money is primarily owed to the IMF, the ECB, and European governments, none of which is at risk at all of collapsing. So the indebtedness of the Greeks has been removed from the private money market and transferred over to state entities. That's why the markets are not particularly flummoxed by, you know, Greek talk of taking a hike on the debt.
So not too much risk to the U.S. here?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, the risk is a continued non-growth or even deflation in Europe. Europe is collectively America's biggest trading partner. And you want your partner recovering if, in fact, you want to sustain your own recovery. Something like a 30% of U.S. GDP is now tied up in international trade. And you do not want to be trying to sell American goods abroad into entire continents where the economies are shrinking.
Richard Parker at Harvard's Kennedy School, thank you very much.
Good to be with you.